chose to walk that road. You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And good morning. We're going to break in here. Normally we have an hour of music, but we have some special friends that have shown up in the studio today. And so we are going to jump right in. And, of course, you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And if you've been listening, you know that we have more and more live events that are taking place during this 11 o'clock hour. We do have a new program that has just started over the last couple weeks at 11 a.m. on Mondays, every Monday, 11 a.m. And Dave Francoeur from our staff is leading a program called Frontline, and it is a dynamic program. Karen Hubbard, who's also part of our staff, is getting ready to bring on air her new program called Hidden Places. So Hidden Places is going to be joining us. We do have a couple things that might be of interest to you. There's a film festival that is coming up, and we have some tickets for this film festival. And let's see, where's all my notes here? Now, I have Barry Osselbrook here, so he could actually tell. Welcome, Barry. Mm-hmm. Introduce your wife and our guest.
Absolutely. Barry Osselbrook, Taken TV Network. I have my lovely wife, Laura Osselbrook, here with me. I have Christian Mayberry and his mother, Kim Mayberry, who have a fantastic, awesome testimony of forgiveness and the miracles of God. It's just incredible. So we're going to be able to share that.
Tell us about the International Film Festival, International Christian Film Festival, coming up in May, starting on the 3rd through the 6th. We have some tickets available.
That is awesome. I've been involved with the festival now since 2017. Just an awesome event. It was the first time I went, I knew I was home, and I knew it was something that I would be probably attending for the rest of my life. It's such a godly event. We have a prayer room. We have praise and worship every morning. And you as you walk the halls or go into the different rooms to watch the movies or go into networking to learn something, you're always going to see somebody praying for somebody. Just constant. It's beautiful. It's like being able to watch movies and be in church at the same time. It's just so wonderful. And so the 3rd through the 6th, great event. On the last day on Saturday, we have the awards ceremony. And then there's a red carpet where everybody can walk the red carpet, get their photo made on that, and then go in and watch the awards. Watch it just like it's the Christian version of the Emmys. So you see, it's just incredible. They get up there, they have they're able to talk about their film for a second and you know, thank God for their awards and all. So it's a wonderful experience.
So the International Film Christian Film Festival, Music Festival. This is an event where the key leaders that produce, these are writers,
yes,
actors, financiers,
producers, yeah, everybody that's involved in Christian media, even show. We even have people that have talk shows and everything, because there's an award for so many different things. Documentaries.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it is.
So excellent. If you are a fine arts pastor, if you are from a Christian school, or you have interest as a student to be a part of producing, writing, acting in the film industry, this is the event where Christian producers and actors come together, right? This is the event.
Absolutely.
Once a year.
Absolutely.
So we still have some tickets, Barry. These tickets are like, if you go to buy them, they're $225 a piece. And we have a few tickets here at WCNO. I cannot take your call right now, but what I'd like you to do is call us and leave a message. And if you would like to have one of those tickets, now don't call if you're not going to use the ticket. because these are very, very valuable. We want to get them into the hands of people who have a real heart to make a difference in our generation. But you sense God is calling you. You might be in your 20s. You might be in your teens, and maybe your family would go. Maybe you have desire to be an actor. This is a means by which to meet and greet and learn how to take the next step. And so we don't have a lot of tickets. We have a few, though. They bless us every year with these. And so you can call 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. Leave your name and let us know your phone number. And, of course, let us know if you want one or two tickets. We're not going to give more than two tickets per family. And so if that's something you're interested in, give us a call. All right. Barry, we are going to get into a conversation with Christian and also Kim in just a moment. But there are two other things. The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is bringing John Stimberger, who is the president of the Florida Family Policy Council in Orlando, to Stuart. Now, this is not an open event. It is for leaders in education and for pastors who are leaders or homeschool leaders. Reason for that is this is going to be to address from a legal perspective the transgender movement and what is happening with the laws, and what can you do as a pastor, a youth pastor, a children's pastor. You may be the Sunday school director in your church. You may know someone that runs a preschool, and you just need to know, what does the law say, and how can we prepare ourselves as Christians to know how to address these issues with the transgender and the LGBTQ agenda that is pushing into our churches and into our Christian schools. And whether you're in a Christian school, you're secular, you might be a school board member, you might be involved in civic leadership, but if you are a leader and you have a heart to be a part of this event, let me tell you how you can be a part, because we do have limited seats. We have over 100 now that have signed up for this. This is going to be on the 27th of this month, the 27th, and it will be taking place at Covenant Fellowship in Stuart, Florida. And if you want to be a part of it, you need to register. Go to Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. TreasureCoastChristianAlliance.com, and you will find there information about the John Stimberger event. It's a lunch event, runs from 12 o'clock until 2:30, and we must have you registered in order to get you food. Otherwise, you may not get a seat, and you'll be watching us eat. We'll still try to get you in if you're a leader, for sure. But that's coming up this month on the 27th. Now, there's another event. Jonathan Kahn, who we have had as a guest, we've interviewed him four times here at WCNO. He is coming to the Treasure Coast of Florida. And on the 4th of May, that's National Day of Prayer, we will be gathering at the Mid-Florida Event Center, and that is centrally located. So you can come from Martin County, Palm Beach County, Okeechobee County, St. Lucie, Indian River. It's going to be worth the drive, but this is an evening event, National Day of Prayer. Many of you have breakfast events, lunch events. This is an evening event. It will be from 6 o'clock until... And we're going to have leaders that will open the evening up with prayer. There will be an opening time of worship leading in to our guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And his most recent book, The Return of the Gods, is absolutely a powerful exposure of the strategies of Satan from history up to right now. Actually turns the lights on the schemes and plans of the devil. And if you've never heard Jonathan Kahn, let me tell you, he is a shofar in the hand of God being blown by the Holy Spirit. And you will be blessed. And we're praying and believing that the move of the Holy Spirit and the Great Awakening and the revival will not just be at an Asbury, but that it will be in our state, in the state of Florida, and we're believing God that this is going to be a tremendous time of impartation. Again, Jonathan Kahn, and he is being brought to the Treasure Coast by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance as well. So you can go to the website, you can get more information, and if you're a pastor, you're looking for 25 tickets, up to 50. We will not give any more than 50 tickets to a church, to any one church. We wanted the small churches as well as larger churches to have access to tickets. We have many churches that are taking 50 tickets, and the tickets are going extremely fast. So if you're interested in getting tickets, I do have tickets here at the station, and since I serve as a part of this board, I will be able to assist you with that. So you can call the station, leave a message. You might say, I want 2 tickets, I want 20 tickets, I want up to 50 for any organization as long as we have them. And I don't believe we have that many blocks of 50 left. They're going out very quickly. But we would love for all of you to come out that are able to, and we're believing God we're going to have an absolutely packed house and a tremendous night. This is for the National Day of Prayer, Mid-Florida Event Center in St. Lucie, Florida, and it's easy to get to from the north, south, not so much from the east. You might have to swim if you're over on the islands, but God bless you. All right, we're going to open up this next time we're running into with just a few moments of prayer, because we have a testimony that is coming up from Christian and his mother. That is going to be something that is unique, and I believe God may just open up your heart and your understanding to just realize how real heaven actually is. And as a Christian, I trust you know that. But once in a while, God has someone like the Apostle Paul who has experiences with God in such a way that when he speaks of it, he says, I'm not sure if I was caught away into the third heavens or where I actually was, but he wasn't even able to talk about it. Today we have someone in the studio that's going to talk about being caught up into the presence of God. Amen. So as we open with prayer, Christian, are you going to open us with prayer?
Yes, sir, I would love to.
All right. Go ahead.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, please, Lord, bless everyone listening, forgive us for all of our sins, and thank you for giving Mom and I and Barry all the words you need us to use to help these wonderful people. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
Amen. Now, Barry, give us a setup. Let us know who Christian and Kim.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about their story, and we'll get into it.
Absolutely. So I've known Christian and Kim probably, I guess, at least 3 years now. A good friend of mine that I've known for many, many years met them many years ago, right after a horrific ATV accident where Christian was tragically injured through the fault of a drunk driver on the ATV, and our friend started following them and recording events as they would happen, important events in Christian's life and different things, court proceedings, and got a lot of different interviews with people that knew about what had happened. And so he introduced me to them a few years ago, and it just an amazing testimony of God's miraculous healing and this family's forgiveness, the fact that they actually forgave the person that created this horrific tragedy. But I would love for actually Kim to be able to start off and kind of share what happened.
All right, Kim, jump into it. Tell us what happened. All when right. did it happen?
Well, it happened on September the 1st, 2013.
Wow, okay.
So he was 16 years old. He had just started his junior year of high school. And I actually was out of the country which made things so much worse. Which was a first time ever since he was born that I was, well, no, I went on that missionary trip. Never mind. Second time.
Okay.
And so, but my daughter and I had just gotten away, and the day after we got there, we got a phone call. And so our world changed at that point. But basically what happened, and then we'll hear from him, but he was down at the river with some of the boys that he played football with.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were, you know, partying and doing things that, you know, you shouldn't be doing, but yet, you know, kids are kids. But unfortunately, I mean, he was with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
He was not partying himself. And he remembers that fact, but for those that are skeptical, I mean, it was at the hospital, they did test him. There was nothing in his system. But so he ended up on the four-wheeler with one of the boys' mother. And she was...
So he's a rider behind yeah. this line.
Well, it's yeah. like a side-by-side.
Or so, side-by-side.
Yeah.
Okay.
So but he was on it with her, and she was very drunk. And he could remember literally yelling at her to slow down, that she was going to kill him. And she did crash, and he flew off. And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. So, but at that point, rather than, you know, calling for help, she took off, and she left him laying in the ditch. And I will let him tell in a minute what, you know, basically what happened while he was laying in that ditch. But it was, you know, the beautiful side of this. But just so your listeners can understand just how severe he was, you know, they told us that there was a good chance he wasn't going to survive. And he had no other injuries, but all it took was the brain injury.
Yeah.
The brain injury is the worst.
Yeah.
And then basically, like within the sixth day, they couldn't control the swelling of the brain. So they came to us and they said, if we do not do surgery right now, we're going to lose him right now. And the doctor, he took his fingers and put them together and showed me, he says, we're going to take two pieces of skull, and he didn't even bring his fingers together. So like larger than a grapefruit.
Wow.
We're going to do that on both sides of his skull. We're going to remove to relieve the swelling. And then of course, you know, he had to tell me, and you know, he might not survive the surgery. At that point, I ran out of the room. I hit my knees. I was, falling apart, you know, and my precious daughter, Mia, she chased me out the room, and she got down on the ground with me, and she said, Mom, you know God's got this. You know he's going to be fine. You taught me to only believe and to speak Amen. That he's going to be fine, and he's going to be fine. You know that, Mom. So, you know, we got up off the floor, but it was, to say it was tough is an understatement. He survived that night again, but there were so many trials and so many hardships. You know, fast forward several months when we came back to put the bone plates in, we were supposed to only be there for approximately a week, they said, to put the bone plates back. We were there for approximately 2 months because wow. he got such an infection that, I mean, we really almost lost him all over again. He couldn't do anything. I mean, for 6 months, he couldn't say a word. It was in the 6 month that he started trying to say a word. Mm-hmm. At that point, he gave me, you know, there was the first signs of hope, of life, that he actually followed a command when I tried to hold his head up because it was constantly just bobbing and hanging over. So I'm always propping it up. And I said, hold your head up for Mama, you know, and I was fixing it. And he actually, I could feel him move his neck. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
He's hearing.
First time. Yeah, he's hearing me. And that's when, like, the next day, which was the 13th of February, he gave me the first hug. He actually hugged me. And the very next day after that was Valentine's Day. And whether anyone wants to believe or not, on Valentine's Day, he literally, the day before was a hug, literally I said, give Mama a kiss. And he puckered up his lips and he gave me a kiss on the cheek on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And so, and then it was the day after that that he actually tried to say the word bye, like goodbye.
Mm.
So at 6 months, he started kind of, I mean, definitely, you know, waking up, started coming back, but he was still in diapers. He couldn't do anything. He wouldn't look at you. His entire left side of his body was paralyzed. But just, you know, so many things started happening. I mean, such as the hospital saying, well, you know, there's nothing more we can do. Where are you going to take him? And we had already been to different facilities to, you know, quote unquote, get rehab. But I mean, the kid was laying in the bed, not doing anything on command, much less getting rehab. Well, Miss Mayberry, I mean, I'm sorry, but you've already taken him to who will take him in Oklahoma. Your Oklahoma Medicaid will not pay for him to go out of state. So your two choices are, Miss Mayberry, is he going home or is he going to the nursing home? And it was over my dead body. What are you talking about? Well, by this time he had now had his 17th birthday.
Mm.
He has to have rehab. He has to get help. Well, but Miss Mayberry, you know we're not going to pay for him to go anywhere out of state. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So it just went round and round, and I was constantly on the phone begging, pleading, calling, 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 when I needed to be only by his side. But I had to be, you know, sneaking off in the bathroom where he couldn't hear me because I didn't want him hearing me on the phone.
Right, hearing the negative.
Yeah. So we ended up going back home to a nursing home. And again, I mean, I'm kicking and screaming and saying, well, this isn't going to last. I'll have him out within a week. We won't be here longer than a week. To make a very long story short, it was 6 months in a nursing home, and it was horrific. Okay, we were promised things that, such as rehab in the nursing home, that didn't happen. We were treated horribly. It was a nightmare. But the worst part is he just laid in that bed, wasting away. So I reached out to our state representative, John Bennett. He didn't know Christian, but he'd heard of the story. And he is a godly man, and he came to the nursing home to meet Christian.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He came to the nursing home. When he left and got in his car, the Lord told him, you do whatever it takes. He's going to have a platform. He's going to bring thousands to me. You do whatever you have to get him out of that nursing home. So he called Senator Mark Allen. And the two of them went to Oklahoma Medicaid. And they said, we need to pay for this boy to get rehab. If we can't take care of him here, we need to pay for him to go. Well, we're not. We're not paying for him to go. Well, yes, you are. No, we're not. And so they ended up basically telling him, you do, or we're going to cut your funding in half. And if you don't do it next month, we're going to cut it in half again until you do pay. Well, we're not going to pay. So in the meantime, I had found a place just coincidentally. I mean, we live in Oklahoma, but I found a place in Wauchula, Florida that I wanted to take him to. And my husband and I were literally touring the facility. We had come down here. So our advocate, he has an advocate, Miss Julie Weintraub of Hands Across the Bay and Golden Diamond Source over in Tampa. She had found out about Christian through Mandy McLaughlin, who lives down here now, but she is from our area. And through Facebook, I mean, she got hit hard, bombarded with all of this, because she's done a lot of investigative reporting. Anyway, so she reached out to Julie, and Julie took him on. And so she called Oklahoma Medicaid, and she said, I know why you're not taking care of Christian, you won't pay, but if you don't do it, I'm going to make sure this entire country knows why you're not taking care of Christian. You need to take care of him. So we're down here touring, and I get a phone call from the head person, and yes, I should remember his name and his title, but all I can remember is he introduced himself as the president, the CEO, whatever his title was, but the head guy of Oklahoma Medicaid. And he said, Miss Mayberry, I'm sitting here with attorney so-and-so and attorney so-and-so, and he's naming all these names around the table, and he says, we're calling you to tell you we're not going to pay. But so I said, okay, thank you, and have a nice day. I hung up the phone. I felt like I'd been punched in the gut. I text John Bennett, and I told him of the conversation. He texts right back, and he said, well, Senator Allen and I were engaged. He's military, so, you know, that means we're in this fight. Bottom line was, about 2 weeks later, I got another phone call. And they said, Miss Mayberry, you find wherever you want to take Christian to. We will pay for the transfer. We'll pay as long as he needs to be there.
Amen.
But the most amazing thing is, I mean, John Bennett was told that by the Lord. When Christian was in diapers, wasn't hardly speaking, you know, paralyzed, the whole nine yards, but said that he's going to have a platform. I mean, Christian didn't go around speaking before any of this happened.
Sure.
But So there's just been so much that has happened. Fast forward now, you know, we do go to churches and schools and tell this amazing testimony.
Yeah.
Because we were told when he survived, then we were told, well, be prepared. He could be like this from here on out. His surgeon told me, you're going to have him the rest of his days. He will be in a bed. He's not going to have any quality of life. Which I told him, yes, you remember the name Christian Mayberry. We will get him back. Another doctor with tears literally streaming down her face, and she was a Christian. She told me in Oklahoma City, she said the same thing basically that he said. She said, I don't want to give you false hope. And he was in the room. He was behind me. She was in front of me. Tears coming down her face. Tears coming down mine. She said what she said, and I turned and pointed to him. And again, I said, you remember Christian Mayberry. We're going to get him back. So fast forward several years later, so Jared Allen.
Let's just break for a second because we don't have a sitting audience. We have a traveling audience.
Okay.
If you're just tuning in today, this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we've sort of broken into our music today because we have a mother and her son. Son went through a tragic accident. And I guess was left for dead, actually, right?
Yes, he was.
Left for dead.
On
and miraculously, getting through the red tape, we're kind of to the part in the story, if you're just joining us right now, to where there's going to be some insurance available and God's opening up some doors for therapy. But, you know, this is one of those stories that anyone who is facing a report that has no hope needs to hear.
Yes.
I've been there myself. I was declared dead in the road. So I know what it is to be left in the street to bleed to death with officers and others walking away saying it's a shame he's gone. I heard the officer say that.
Yeah.
And so some of you are in at a place in your life where you need a miracle. And maybe your church anoints with oil and believes God and miracles happen there. Maybe you're not in a church like that. But I want to tell you, we have a God like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our God is not limited by any condition that exists in your body, whatever you're facing, your family's facing. I want you to hear this story and understand here's a mom and a son that God has brought back from the impossible. He was basically left for dead. All right, so now we're going to jump back into the story. Now we have insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors that have done the surgery didn't give any hope other than you're basically going to have a bedridden invalid to deal with for the rest of his life, and this is going to be your life. And so what happens now?
Well, I was just going to say that it was the most beautiful thing that several years later, because we did, as Barry was saying, you know, Jared Allen started filming and documenting all of this when we were in Wauchula.
Okay.
And so he flew up to Florida, and we did what we called like a victory tour, if you will. It was amazing. And you know, we arranged it with these doctors in these places, facilities. So they knew we were coming. We didn't surprise them. And he got to walk through these doors where he had left on a gurney flat out, and they didn't think he would.